Psalm 23. I'd like to begin by reading verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God views us as sheep. A couple of passages on that point. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, speaking of Jesus. In another text, in 1 Peter 2, Peter says, "For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to shepherd and overseer of your souls." God views us as sheep, and that's not a particularly flattering comparison. Sheep are helpless, defenseless animals. They often wander aimlessly into danger without sensing it. Sheep must be led, must be fed, and must be watched over. And God views us as sheep. But as sheep, the implication of this verse is that we need a shepherd, because David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Someone must lead us, or else we'll be destined for spiritual hunger, spiritual danger, and spiritual death. I want us tonight to take a look at this psalm and consider the blessings that come when the Lord is your shepherd, when we allow God to be the one who leads us and protects us. Perhaps there is someone here who has not yet made the Lord their leader, and this lesson will serve to tell you why you should do that. But especially this lesson is intended for those of us who do belong to the Lord, so that we can realize the tremendous blessings that come from that relationship as God wants us to by authoring a text like Psalm 23. First of all, when the Lord is your shepherd, your needs are met. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word that's used here, want, means to lack. And there is no lack for the one who has come to the Lord to lead him. His needs are met. Do you notice the intense familiarity that David has with the Lord? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He belongs to me and I belong to him. He cares for me, even if he cares for no one else. He is my shepherd." The great God of heaven and earth, eternally holy and righteous, has lowered himself to be in a relationship with mere sinful, flawed men and women like you and me. David says, "He is my shepherd." And in the flock of the Lord, there are no needy sheep. The Lord supplies all our needs the moment we enter his care. Look at verse 2. He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That is, having all we need, having fed fully, we rest in safety and comfort. We have fully taken in all we need. And as sheep, after they feed, are made to lie down and let the food digest, and they sleep peacefully in the care of their shepherd. So we, when we belong to the Lord. And the second part of verse 2, he says, "He leads me beside the still waters." The place where we can safely and calmly take in the water that we need. So David envisions God as the perfect shepherd who always leads his sheep to the places they need to go. He is the one that gives them everything that they need. Now in part, that means that our physical needs, food and clothing and shelter, are supplied by our God. You remember this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" In this context, Jesus is talking about worry. And he said, just look around at nature. God takes care of all the animals. Do you think he's not going to take care of you? All of the animals, they don't need to worry about everything in their lives. God just supplies it for them. And in the same way, God is going to take care of us. God takes care of all his creation, but especially does he promise to take care of those who are in his flock, his sheep. So when the Lord is your shepherd, you have no need to worry. You just do not need. You do not want, is what David says. Put your marker here in Psalm 23. I'd like for you to go with me over a few pages to Psalm 37. We're looking at a few different psalms tonight. Psalm 37 will give some depth to this idea of our needs being met in the Lord. I want to read just one verse here, Psalm 37 and verse 25. It says, Psalm 37, 25, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. David makes an observation about the life and the course of life of righteous people. He says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. We need to remember, David had also seen in his own life incredible hardship and difficulty. Years, periods of long years where he didn't have a home. And yet in all of that, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. When people belong to the Lord takes care of them and takes care of them physically, gives them what they need. Now, please understand, that doesn't mean we're going to have just every desire of our heart. In fact, God cautions us against asking for things just so we can spend them on our pleasures. But what God is saying here is that our physical needs, the things that are essential to our lives, will always be met by the Lord. Who else can promise that? But more than simple physical needs, the Lord also ensures that our spiritual needs are going to be satisfied. The urgent needs that we have inside of, something that goes beyond just what are we going to eat or what are we going to drink, what are we going to wear. Those needs are also met when the Lord is our shepherd. The deep, gaping hole that we feel in our lives for something more is filled in the Lord. The urgent need we have for salvation, for cleansing, for someone to make us feel good about ourselves again after we've messed up our lives and sin, the Lord meets that need. The desire that we have to be a part of something very important, something lasting, the Lord fills that need. The fear that we feel at death, the confusion that we feel at life, the frustration that we feel at other people, all of those are solved when the Lord is your shepherd. Jesus said this to the woman at the well. He said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. He's not promising that we would never have to drink anything again. What he's promising is the spiritual needs, the thirst of our soul will be met. The need that we have to feel that our lives are not polluted, not wasted, but that we are good people. The Lord restores that to us when He is our shepherd. Go back to Psalm 23. One more thing I want to point out on this point is there in verse 1 of Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. David has confidence in this relationship. There's no question to him as to whether or not the Lord is really with him or whether he really belongs to the Lord. Now, can you say that same thing with confidence? The Lord is my shepherd. I belong to him, and because of that, I don't need anything. If not, perhaps we need to draw closer to the shepherd. He will meet our every need. Secondly, when the Lord is your shepherd, your path is right. Look again at verse 2, the second part of verse 2. He says, He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Sheep must be led. And the good shepherd is going to lead them in a place that's good for them, the place they need to go. So the Lord leads His sheep, it says, beside the still waters, where the sheep can have what they need. But he also says in verse 3 there, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord always guides us to what is good and best. He's always going to lead us in the right direction. When we're following the Lord, when we're listening to the voice of the Lord, when we're reading His Word and obeying His commands, we don't ever need to wonder if we're going in the right direction. We always know we're going in the way that's best for us, and ultimately, the way that's best for our soul. So like a humble sheep, our duty is simply to follow the shepherd. He's leading us to the right place. Sheep are led, not driven. And the Lord does not drive us or force us to do what's right. He gently leads us in the right way. And our duty is to make Him our shepherd by following Him wherever He leads. Now, to speak practically about that, that's not some kind of mystical leading. Some people say that the Lord is leading me in this direction or pushing me in this direction or I felt Him tug at me in this direction. I don't believe that's what David is referring to here. What we're talking about is a relationship that we develop with God that's based on Him speaking to us and us taking a moment and keeping our mouth shut to listen to God. Not in some mystical way, but as He speaks to us through His Word. And when we speak to Him in prayer, we do so on the basis of a relationship formed through the Word of God. God speaks to us today through His Son. We must listen, and we must develop that relationship with Him. So we study, and we think hard about how we apply what is written. We see what needs there are in our lives and in the lives of others for help and for help with sin. We identify, we expose, we remove sin from our lives because we're trying to follow the shepherd. We understand more deeply what God has done and is doing for us. And that way, we follow the shepherd. And when that's true, our path is always right. As long as we're following the Word of God, we cannot go wrong. When the Lord is your shepherd, a third thing, you do not fear evil. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff may comfort me. Sometimes we focus on death in this verse, but David's point is that he fears no evil because the Lord is his shepherd. And that lack of fear is true to the extent that even if he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, I still fear no evil. In the place where death itself is, I will fear no evil. Think of yourself as a sheep, weak, defenseless, paralyzed by fear. You cannot help yourself. You cannot protect yourself. Most sheep don't even have the ability to sense danger coming. And yet, then your shepherd comes. The one you trust completely. With Him, you'll walk anywhere. You don't fear what's going to happen. You know He's always going to be there to help you and to protect you. He'll never lead you in the wrong way. And if danger ever comes upon you, He's there. When the Lord is your shepherd, you have that assurance. We need not fear any evil. Look with me over in Matthew chapter 10. Leave your marker here. We'll come back. But let's go to Matthew 10. Fear is a very real thing for us as people. And we have to deal with fear. There's fear of the unknown that we all have. And none of us can escape the fear of death. Death will come to all of us if the Lord continues to tarry. And if that's true, fear will continue on this earth as people look forward to that unknown time of what will happen after death. And yet, when the Lord, God, is our shepherd, we need not fear evil. Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus is sending out His disciples, and listen to what He tells them. Matthew 10 and verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So He says, I'm sending you out. People are going to hurt you. He says there are people who are going to be able to kill your body. But He says, you don't need to fear them. Do not fear. And as sort of a proof of why they shouldn't fear, He says, look at the sparrows. God watches over the sparrows. This is verse 29. are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? God takes care of creation. So we need to know He's going to especially take care of those of His creation who belong to Him, His people who are doing His work. So it means we can trust our shepherd. And His protection means we don't have to fear anything. A couple of passages, Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? It's not a question of what can man do to me. Man can do a lot of things to him. But what can he do to me that will really hurt, that will really last, that will really matter? If the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to fear. I know He'll be with me and protect me through all of it. Or Romans 8 and verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side and He has blessed us in such a rich way, who of consequence could ever take that away from us? Even when we face death itself, we have a shepherd who is waiting to take us through that valley and carry us safe to the other side. We don't have to fear anything if the Lord is our shepherd. When wicked people press in around us and threaten us and hurt us, try to influence us and try to weaken us, we need not fear because the Lord is our shepherd. His rod, His staff, they comfort us. We belong to Him. He's always with us. Let me say, as I end that point, it does not mean that we may not have to have very real difficulties in this life. Jesus just said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. It may be that we come across incredible difficulty in life. Yet if the Lord is our shepherd, all of those things are nothing compared to the care He gives us. We don't need to fear evil if He is our shepherd. Go back to Psalm 23 with me. I know I'm probably throwing you off. I had 2 points this morning. We're going to have more than three tonight, so hope you'll stick with me. Psalm 23 and verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. When the Lord is your shepherd, your enemies are defeated. When David speaks of enemies in the Psalms, he's usually speaking of those people who try to oppose him because he does what is right. Those who react to his goodness with evil. And what he says here is, what he by inspiration declares to us, is that God will settle that score. And yet, in this case, David seems to be speaking of things in this life, God helping him immediately and coming to his aid so that these difficulties in life, these imbalances, can be changed and righted. Look with me just a page over in Psalm 25. I'll show you what I'm talking about with this idea of enemies. Psalm 25 and verse 1 says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Don't allow my enemies to triumph over me, he says. They're opposing me, and he says, I'm asking for your help in defeating them. These were not prayers that his team would win or something like that, but that he, the Lord's anointed, would be allowed to be victorious over wicked men who were like Saul, or wicked men like his children stealing his throne. David prayed a real, genuine prayer that because I'm trying to do what's right, I pray that you'll help me do what's right, and those who are trying to do what's wrong will be defeated in their wrong. Look with me over in Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and we'll read several verses here because this is a psalm with a common theme. Psalm 73 in verse 1 says, surely God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped, My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. In verse 13, in the middle of this statement, he says, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Let me tell you what's going on in Asaph's mind. Asaph is troubled because in this life, he looks around and he sees wicked people who do well and righteous people who do poorly. And he says, it doesn't make any sense. Why have I been doing all of this? I've cleansed my heart in vain. There's no point to it because it doesn't bring any results in this life. So look down in verse 16. He said, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. The conclusion that Asaph comes to, he says, I went to the holy place. I went to the temple, and I saw it. I saw their end. Now, I think what Asaph is saying here is that God has a way of settling those scores even in this life. But there is a way in which these people, though they are wrong, though they are blessed at times, are ultimately going to be defeated. At times we doubt because we see those people continue and prosper, and they are our enemies because they are wicked. And yet God will take care of them. For us, sometimes it's even closer than it seems to have been with Asaph. Asaph's just looking around. But for us, sometimes these are wicked people who are in our family or who are our friends who we see all the time. And we keep wondering, how can they keep living this way and God continues to bless them? The message of these psalms is God will settle the score. The glory of such wicked people is just for a moment. And God will overcome them. So when David says this, David says, you have prepared a place for me in the presence of my enemies. He's not saying I have some kind of gloating victory. I'm glad because God made my side come out on top. This is simply an extension of the idea that God is going to take care of us and bless us if we belong to Him. And those who oppose Him and who oppose His people will be defeated. Perhaps in this life, but most assuredly in the next. When the Lord is your shepherd, your enemies are defeated. Let me say one thing before I close this point as well. That doesn't mean that just everybody we don't like or everybody we don't get along with, God's going to smite, God's going to strike down in some way. The idea here is those who oppose the Lord are our enemies. And so God says, those who oppose the Lord are not going to be victorious. He will have victory. Going back to Psalm 23 again. And let's read again, beginning in verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the Lord is your shepherd, you have blessings untold. David changes from the image of a shepherd and a sheep to the image of an honored guest in another's house. Like a blessed guest, the Lord's sheep have a table prepared for them. He says in verse 5, they have oil for their head, and then their cup runs over with whatever they would like to drink. Verse 6, goodness and mercy follow them all the days of their life, and they dwell in the house of God, their shepherd, forever. The Lord not only wants to shepherd you, He wants to bless you, to give you untold blessings. We look back on our lives, it's easy for us to see the blessings of the Lord. It's easy for us to see when the Lord was putting us in positions we needed to be in, so that the best things that could happen for us did happen. We can look back and see how even difficult times, God has turned out for our good and for our betterment. The Lord is going to bless us if we belong to Him. Now again, I stress, this is not the promise of a rose-strewn path through life where we have no trouble and no difficulty. Remember that the man who is writing this, David, had no such life. His life was full of trouble. And yet the Lord was his shepherd, and he had the blessings of that. Now, the truth about this is, sometimes it requires some readjustment of our perspective. Because we have a habit of only seeing negative things in life and not seeing the positive things that God's doing in our life. We have to be able to see that the blessings we have do come from God. And every good and perfect gift, James said, comes from above, from the Father of lights. We need to remember that these blessings come from Him, because if we don't, we're going to look right past the blessings and see all the problems. We sing a song called Count Your Blessings, and it's good advice. Not a moment wasted when we count our blessings, because we're going to end that counting in prayer to God, thanking Him for all the blessings that are too many for us to count. Blessings untold belong to those who are the Lord's sheep. We also need to never forget that the minor difficulties of life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us, the tremendous blessings that will come after this life is over. I'm reminded of this song when I think of these thoughts. It's the song, we don't sing it much, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And in that song, this verse, Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? The idea of that song, that verse in that song, is that just because something is a blessing doesn't mean it's easy. And just because God has chosen to bless us doesn't mean everything is going to be as simple and easy as we wish it to be. David did not have it easy. And it might not be ideal for us, yet God promises blessings untold. We need to have the spiritual maturity to recognize those things. So when the Lord is your shepherd, your needs are met, your path is right, you do not fear evil, your enemies are defeated, and you have blessings untold. Now, these facts should change the way we view life. We don't need to worry about whether or not we're going to have what we need, do we? God says you're going to have it. We don't need to worry about whether or not we've made the right choice about our path. As long as we're following the Lord, it is the right choice always. We don't need to worry about what might happen to us tomorrow. We don't need to worry about what's going to happen when life is over. We don't need to fear anyone, because the Lord is our shepherd. We don't need to be frustrated by the fact that other people might have some gain in this life, might seem to be doing better than they deserve. Because God's going to right those wrongs. He's going to settle those scores. And those who are enemies of His will be defeated. And we don't need to worry or be down because things are not perfect in our lives. We know that God has chosen to bless us. The Lord is our shepherd. The question is, what more do we need? I'd like for you for just a moment to go with me over to John chapter 10. I'd like to show you here in John chapter 10 that everything that was true in Psalm 23 when the Lord was our shepherd is also true when Jesus is our shepherd, as He describes Himself here in John chapter 10. I'd like for you to read with me. We'll just read through a couple different sections here. John 10 and verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and have pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What Jesus says here is, I'm the way they get pasture. I'm the way they have life and more abundant life. In other words, for my sheep, their needs are met. They have all they need. In verse 3 of John 10, Jesus said, To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When we follow Jesus, our path is always right. He leads us in the right way. He leads us to everlasting life. In verse 28 of John 10, Jesus says, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." When we belong to Jesus, we don't need to fear any evil. He is the perfect shepherd. And no one will be able to do any harm to us when we belong to Him. Any harm, spiritually speaking. In verse 12, John 10, verse 12, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." Verse 15, "As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." When Jesus is our shepherd, our enemies are defeated. Those who would wish us wrong, those who would try to harm us, Jesus takes care of them, giving His life for the sheep. And then again in verse 28, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." When we're with Jesus, we have blessings untold. Blessings not just in this life, but blessings of eternal life that no one can take from us if we're willing to continue to follow Him. So will you make Jesus your shepherd tonight? To have that eternal life He has promised. If you're ready to make a commitment to Him, to choose Him, and to follow Him, we stand ready to help you. If there's some need that you have tonight, please come to the front as we stand and sing to encourage you.